I'd like you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 17. You may have already noticed in your bulletins that I've titled today's sermon, The Object of Faith. The Object of Faith. What is it that you have placed your faith and trust in? Because the object of your faith is what is important. One's faith, your faith, my faith, anyone's faith is only as strong as the object of that faith. Okay? How often have we read in the Old Testament how Hebrews, the Jewish people, would turn to another nation for help in times of need? Maybe a nation would come to attack them. Maybe they were suffering in some way, shape, or form. And we look in the Old Testament and when we see over and over again how the Hebrew people would turn to other nations to get help instead of turning to God. And if we had time to go back and study each and every one of those instances, you would find that not once did those other nations ever help them. It always hindered them. It always caused a greater problem. They had put their faith in another nation instead of God. And so today we want to understand that our faith must be in Jesus Christ. Today people trust in all kinds of things. They put their faith and trust in money. They put their faith and trust in a good life. I'm having a good life. I must be pretty good. I must be doing the right thing. Things are going well. People put their faith and trust in investments. People put their faith and trust in happiness. People put their faith and trust in religion. I hope you know that we don't come here to practice religion. We come here to worship Jesus Christ, to learn a relationship with God through Jesus by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. But people place their faith and trusts in all kinds of religions. Buddhists place their faith and trust in a man named Siddhartha Gautama. He is better known as the Buddha. He's dead. Muslims trust in a man named Muhammad. He's dead. Mormons trust in the writings of Joseph Smith. He's dead. Jehovah Witnesses trust in Jesus, but it's a Jesus that never claims to be God. That's their Jesus. If you've ever talked to a Jehovah Witness, they will tell you, Jesus is not God and Jesus never claimed to be God. Now I ask you, did Jesus claim to be God? Absolutely. He said, I and my Father are one. He told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In every way, shape, and form, Jesus Christ claimed to be God Almighty. Jehovah Witnesses trust in a Jesus that they say is not God and never claimed to be God. Catholics trust in the Pope, whom they call the Vicar of Christ. That means the incarnation of Jesus. Is the Pope Jesus incarnate today? Hindus trust in nature. Humanists trust in themselves. Man is the center of the universe. Atheists trust in science fiction. Pentecostals worship the Holy Spirit. They're a little closer. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In other words, some put their faith and their trust in the might of their military, but we will trust the name of the Lord our God. Here's the point. Salvation is not by customs. Salvation is not in works. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. That's it. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12 says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone, Jesus is the stone, which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you for everybody in here that has given their life to you, who has received the gift of salvation that you give at no cost to us, but at great cost to you. Thank you for what you've done for us. We come together today to worship and honor and glorify you, God. I pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin in our text then. If you would, look at verse 7 and 8. Technically, we're starting in verse 9, but I want you to bounce back to verse 7 and 8. I've put it on the screen as well. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Today, we begin to talk about that blessedness that verse 7 and 8 are talking about. And so let's look at verses 9 through 11. Speaking of that blessedness, it says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only," that's the Jews, "or upon the uncircumcision also," that's the Gentiles. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. You're either the circumcised or the uncircumcised, okay? Jews and Gentiles. Who does this blessedness, what blessedness? The blessedness spoken of in verse 7 and 8. The blessedness that says, they are blessed whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So whose iniquities are forgiven? Whose sins are covered? Is it the blessedness only upon the circumcision, or is it upon the uncircumcision also? Let's continue. "For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised." Let's talk about that. Maybe you saw that as a bit of a tongue twister. There's two points of interest to remember as we study this passage that we're looking at today. First of all, Paul is refuting the insistence of the Jews that justification, righteousness, just as if I'd never sinned. That's your declaration, God's declaration of your righteousness. Paul is refuting the insistence of the Jews that justification, righteousness, only comes through obedience to the Jewish law. In the same fashion, he is refuting today anyone that says salvation comes by work. Whether that work is getting baptized, or whether that work is putting money in the offering, or whether that work is coming to church religiously every Sunday, every Wednesday, work, whatever that work is, by helping little old ladies across the street, by whatever you can come up with. Paul is refuting that salvation, righteousness, justification comes by works. He says, no, it does not come by works. The fulfillment, the second thing we want to look at is, that Paul is talking about here, is the fulfillment of Scripture that states Abraham might be the father of all them that believe. That's what Paul is trying to show here. The fulfillment of the Scripture that Abraham would be the father of all them that believe. That's verse 11 of our text. That is, all of us who are saved. That's the point for us today. Verse 9, looking at your Bibles, verse 9 is a question. Very clearly we see it's a question. And that question is the blessingness of righteousness for Jews only, or is it also for Gentiles? There's the question that Paul is addressing. Can it only come through the works of the law of being Jewish, getting circumcised and fulfilling, living all the laws, or is it for Gentiles as well? Verse 10 of our text is the answer. And the answer is, you ready? Here's Paul's answer. The answer is, well, It really depends on when Abraham was declared righteous. That's what Paul said there. Is the blessing of your sins being forgiven, is the blessing of your righteousness for the Jews only, or is it also for the Gentiles? And the answer is, it really depends on when was Abraham declared righteous. And so what I want to do next is do a Bible study. This is what you need to be doing in your own personal time of studying the Bible at home. So we're gonna do that today. Let's find out, when was it that Abraham was declared righteous? Was Abraham declared righteous before circumcision or after his circumcision? Do me a favor, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. We'll be back in Romans, so you can keep your finger or your bulletin or something in Romans, but turn to Genesis chapter 15. First book of the Bible, chapter 15. And we'll look at verses 2 through 6. When was Abraham declared righteous? That's what we're looking for. And so we're going to go back into the Bible. We're going to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We're going to study what the Bible says. When was Abraham declared righteous? Genesis 15, verse 2 says, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." He's had no children of his own. "And lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Abraham says, "Hey God, I have no kids." And so the person that's going to inherit the authority, the person that's going to inherit all of the possessions and the wealth that I have and pass that on, the person that's going to inherit that is not even my own kid. It's a steward. It's someone who works for me. Their kid is going to get all of this. And so Abraham says to God, "What are you going to give me? Are you going to give me a child?" Verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness." In other words, God said, "Come here, Abraham, you asked me a good question. Come out here." He says, "All right, go out there. I want you to look at the stars. As you're looking at the stars, can you count the stars?" Anyone ever tried? Right? You get lost after like 7 or 8 of them. You're like, "What? Where? I think I counted that one already." You cannot count the stars. It's impossible. God said to Abraham, "You will have a child. Your heir will be from your own bowels. It will be your child. In fact, you're going to have so many children that it will be more numerous than the stars." And it says that Abraham believed him, and it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. You see, our righteousness is based on belief in God. God said he sent his only son. He became flesh and dwelt on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Death, burial, resurrection, the gospel. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God? If you do, righteous. You're declared righteous. Now, turn to chapter 16 of Genesis. Notice in Genesis 15, Abraham was declared righteous because of belief. Now let's look at Ishmael. His son Ishmael is born. Genesis chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. "And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." All right, so a little bit of information. 86 years old. A score is 20 years. 84 is 4 times 20, right? 20, 40, 60, 80. How old is Abraham? He is 86 years old when he has Ishmael. Understand something. Ishmael, Abraham and his wife Sarai decided, hey, listen, God said we're going to have a child and we're not having a child, so we must have to do this our own way. And so they decided that Abraham would sleep with Hagar, a housemaid, and that she would bear a child. Do you think God blessed that? Do you think God honors it when we do our own thing and call it his will? By the way, Ishmael is the father of the Arab people that are fighting with the Jewish people to this very day. That's what it's all about. In a nutshell, that's what it's all about. That's what the entire fighting and the war over in Iran, it's all about that. Did God bless a work of the flesh? Because that's exactly what Abram and Sarai did. They did a work in their flesh and said, hey, we're fulfilling God's will. God did not bless that. But understand something. Here's the birth of a son of Abram. He was 86 years old when he gave birth to that child. Remember, he had already been declared righteous. Have you been declared righteous? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you've been declared, thank you, then you've been declared righteous. Do you still sin? Do I still sin? Absolutely. But God's righteousness has been placed on you and I. He is righteous. Abraham declared righteous. He's a sinner, 86 years old, has a child. Now turn to Genesis chapter 17. I'm trying to shorten the message because we don't want to read all of chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, right? Amen. So we're condensing it. I encourage you, go home and read all those chapters. All right? Genesis chapter 17, let's look at verses 10 and 11. And now we come to Abraham's circumcision. God speaking in verse 10, Genesis 17, verse 10 says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, that's his children. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token. See that? A token. It shall be a token, a symbol of the covenant between me and you. It's a symbol. Skip ahead to verse 24. Looking at verse 24, and Abram was 90 years old and nine. He was 86 when he had Ishmael. It was well before that when he was declared righteous. 86, he has Ishmael. 99 years old. Some years have gone by, haven't they? Since Abram was declared righteous. Now he is 99 years old. Look what it says. When he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the self same day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. I ask you the question again. Paul asks you the question. When was Abram declared righteous? Was it before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? Very clearly, he was declared righteous years before he was circumcised. Circumcision was nothing more than a symbol. Do you see it? Do you see it, folks? Your baptism is a symbol of what God has done in your life. It's a symbol. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with the declaration of your righteousness. It has everything to do with your willingness to obey God after you've gotten saved. But the question stays the same. When was Abraham declared righteous? Before or after circumcision? We just did a Bible study. Wasn't that hard, was it? We just went back and studied what Scripture said. Very clearly, Abram was declared righteous years before the symbol of that righteousness. years before circumcision. Abraham's declaration of being righteous had nothing to do with the circumcision at all then. It couldn't have. The circumcision was 20-some years later. The blessings of righteousness is for all who believe like Abraham did. How did Abraham believe? God said it, and he believed it. It's that simple. The blessings of righteousness is for all who believe like Abraham. Circumcision simply bore witness as a sign to an already existing righteousness. Baptism serves as a sign, a symbol of a righteousness that you have already received if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch man, we spoke of him today in Sunday school. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." What's your heart? It's your innermost being. It's who you are. It's your soul. It's that part of you that goes on after this wretched body that is full of sin dies. Who you are never dies. It gets upgraded to a body that will never suffer if you're a Christian. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." And here's the answer that the Ethiopian man gave to Philip. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Right? That's the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God stepped out of heaven, became a man, paid the price for your sins, died on the cross, was buried, proving he was dead, and came back to life, proving he was God, and that he conquered the penalty of sin, which is death. Amen. Do you believe it? Then you're righteous. Now time to get baptized if you haven't been. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." It very clearly tells us what baptism's about. It's a picture of what happened to Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and what happened to you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Your old man is dead. One day you'll be rid of the flesh, the old man. Until then, we need to do our best to walk in the Spirit and fight against that constant fight against our old man, the flesh. Which one wins? Which one wins? It depends on the one you feed. Right? If you feed your flesh is going to win. If you feed your new man, who you are in Christ, that new man will win. It's a daily battle. Second point, let's look at the purpose of the argument that Paul is making here. We left off in the middle of verse 11, Romans chapter 4, verse 11. We left off in the middle. Let's continue where we left off. It says that he, Abraham, might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, not Jewish. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abram, which he had being yet uncircumcised. That Abraham was declared righteous before circumcision proved that the Gentiles were not to become Jewish in order to be declared righteous, justified, saved. Both Jew and Gentile were to exercise faith like Abraham for salvation. What's the faith like Abraham? God said it, and he believed it. Simply believe, putting your whole faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Abraham's faith was to be the pattern. This is what Paul is saying. Abraham's faith was to be the pattern for all people. What's the pattern? God speaks, you believe, and are declared righteous. That's the pattern. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? In this manner, Abraham would not only be the natural father of the Hebrew people, right? His children, Abraham is the grandfather. His children became the Jewish people. Everybody that's a Jew throughout the rest of history came from Abraham. So, in this manner, Abraham is the natural father of the Hebrew people. But listen, he's also the spiritual father of all of those of us who believe in like manner. What's the like manner? The pattern. God said it, you believe it, declared righteous. Father Abraham did indeed have many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. We know the song, right? We sang it as little kids in Sunday school, many of us. See, salvation is not by works. Let's review the promise. Look at verse 13 of our text, Romans 4:13. For the promise, what's the promise? That he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to the seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It wasn't because of who Abraham was. It was because of faith. That's why the promise was given. That's why the promise is fulfilled. That's the promise, that Abraham would be the father of many, and that through his seed, the whole world would be blessed. Genesis 15:5 again, and as he brought him forth abroad, he said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You're going to have lots of kids, Abraham. Some will be physical kids, the Jewish people, and some will be spiritual kids. All who believe the same way Abraham believed. God spoke and we believe. In thy seed, he said, you will be the father of many nations. Genesis 17:4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. That's part of the promise. And part of the promise, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience was based on his faith. God said it, he believed it, and did it. There's the promise. There's the review of the promise. The point is, the promise could not possibly come through the law. That's the point that Paul is making here in Romans. Look at verse 14 and 15 of our text. For if they which are of the law, that's the Jewish people, that's the circumcised, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. What's the point of having faith if our obedience to the law makes us an heir? Paul very clearly says, that's not what makes you an heir. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. The promise was to Abraham because he had faith. And so very clearly we're being told here, if he didn't have faith, then the promise was worthless. Because the law worketh wrath. The promise was made of none effect because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The only thing the law can do, the law, let's look at it this way. The Ten Commandments. There are thousands of law in the Old Testament, in the Bible. But let's just summarize it into the Ten Commandments. You ever try to follow the Ten Commandments? How you doing? Right? How you doing? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Yet the Bible also tells us if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, ladies, thy neighbor's husband. Yet the Bible also tells us, if you look on a woman, ladies, if you look on a man with lust in your heart, you've already committed sexual adultery. How you doing on the Ten Commandments? thou shalt not steal. What is it that God's given you and you've not given back to him? The Bible says that's stealing. The Bible says you're not to have any other gods before him. Yet every time you put yourself in front of him, you've made yourself God. I've done the same. How you doing on the Ten Commandments, folks? We're not doing so hot, are we? All the law can do is wrath. We are owed God's wrath. God should have wrath on us, but he loves us. And he provided a way to put peace between himself and sinful man. Obedience to the law can never earn the promises or the blessings of righteousness. Righteousness can only come through the righteousness of faith. Jesus Christ is the heir of the world. All of this is his. Christ is the point of the promise, and he alone is the object of true faith. Acts chapter 13, verse 37 to 39 says, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Pretty simple. Yet we have people from all different Christian denominations doing everything they can to earn their salvation, trying desperately to obey laws, rules. Can't be done. Righteousness, justification, is only by grace through faith. What faith? Abraham's faith in the promise of the seed, and our faith in the fulfillment of that promise. That promise is Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the promise of Abraham's seed. If we went and study in the Bible the genealogy of Abraham, the family tree of Abraham, you got Abraham over here, and you go down the family tree, and guess where you end up? The birth of Jesus Christ. And through Abraham's seed, the birth of Jesus Christ, all people are blessed. Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross is the whole point of the seed, the whole point of the promise. And the promise is sure, watch this, the promise is sure to, look what our text says, all seed. So who's all seed, right? Seed, children, children. Who are the children that it's talking about? Look at verse 16 and 17 of our text, and we're almost done. Therefore it, the blessedness of righteousness, that's what we're talking about. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace, a gift of God, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who are all the seed? Not to that only which is of the law, that's the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Not just the Jews, he is the father of us as believers in Jesus Christ. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Look at the phrase there in our text, that which is of the law. That speaks of the natural seed of Abraham. That's the Jewish people, the natural seed of Abraham. that which is of the faith of Abraham does not speak of the Jewish religion. It's not speaking of the Jewish religion there when it says that which is of the faith of Abraham. The Jewish religion didn't even exist yet because the Jews didn't exist yet. How could that phrase be talking about the Jewish faith when the Jewish people didn't even exist? Abraham was the grandfather of them. So what is it talking about when it says that which is of the faith of Abraham? Talking about all those who believe, like Abraham, the pattern that Abraham set. God said it, he believed it, and was declared righteous. So, who is the faith of Abraham? Who is the seed of Abraham, which is of the faith of Abraham? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. He gave his only begotten son. Only begotten. Begotten means born of God. We are sons of God, but we're not born of God. Jesus is of God. That means Jesus is God. He is full God, deity, the only begotten son of God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the seed of Abraham. Whosoever means whosoever. Go to that next slide for me, Steve. See that? Whosoever. John 3:16 says, whosoever. Anybody. Doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter your health, your color, your size, your shape, nothing. Anybody. Whosoever means whosoever. Faith plus works is a hope so. If you're trusting in your faith and your works to get to heaven, it's a hope so. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. There's not a question in my mind. Because the object of my faith is not me. The object of my faith is not this church, this religion, Baptist. The object of my faith is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Faith plus works is a hope so. Works without faith is a no-go. Read that statement. Works without faith is a no-go. Not going to heaven. You can work all day long. All you're going to do is get tired, frustrated, angry, depressed, disappointed, because you can't make it. Works without faith is a no-go. But faith plus nothing is a no-so. I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know you're going to heaven? Let's pray.